Sometimes you may not comprehend the word that you give or the vision that you get. And it may not have any meaning to you at the time and may not have any value to you. But I was looking over some email, and there was an article about how the prophetic is so intense in the church that it needs to be, let's say, fine-tuned. And they use the same expressions that the Lord gave me 20 years ago about a puzzle and the different parts to the puzzle. Some might have a piece of the edge. Some might have a corner piece. Some might have a little piece in the middle that doesn't seem to fit and doesn't really match the rest. It may not be the right coordinates, but in reality, every piece of that puzzle is needed. The only part that's different between us and the Lord talking to us is He doesn't give us a picture on the box. He waits for us to put the picture together, piece by piece. And so, be patient with yourselves. The Lord is constructing stuff. And it is important that you record it. I re-listened to that wonderful dream that our brother Chuck had. And it's so intense that all I can tell you is each time I listen, I get a little more. And 15 years isn't anything for God. He can really do something. And I would just want to thank the Lord for the saints and the obedience of the saints in the house of the Lord. You need to be aware. The obedience on your part may seem like nothing to you, but it is absolutely essential so that the house of prayer will go where it needs to go and be what it needs to be every step of the way. Not to deviate from God's plan. So that's my prayer. I am aiming for the best and for the top, not for what's underneath. Now, how many know sometimes you get a vision or a dream, and that vision or dream can really jolt you and show you that you could fail? I had an incredible dream this morning, and it jolted me, and I said, Lord, I really, really need your help because it's showing the potential of what the enemy would like to do. And I can tell you that we need to intercede for one another. And I'm not going to say it lightly. I covet your prayers. I need your prayers. I need your support. I can't do it on my own. There's no way that I can do it. You may think that it's easy from up here, but it's not so easy sometimes because you'd like to have things in a certain way, but God is not ready yet, or maybe I'm not ready yet. I don't know which, but I want to know one thing. I want to be able to say to the Lord when I get there, I did the best that I knew how with what I had to work with. And that's me. I can't be somebody else. And tonight I want to give a compliment to the house of prayer. Because I had a word for a young lady that has been coming now for a few times. And the word was very simple. And I had heard that the Lord wanted me to release that word to her, so I did. And she said she was blessed because she was received and welcomed with love and embraced. That's why she's returned. Sunday, as the closing of the service was going on, I watched nobody going home. Nobody was scooting out the door. And you have no idea how pleasant it was to watch that. Because it was like the pool of Bethesda and the angels were just stirring all the different individuals. And there was a flow of love flowing. And you say, well, it wasn't perfect. Well, tough cookies. I'm not either, and neither are you. But God's working. with each and every one of you. So keep up the good work. I want you to come on a little journey with me. With Mark chapter 16. The authority of the believer can be misrepresented, can be pushed out of line by the flesh. How many know what I'm talking about? If you're making notes, remember John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30. Jesus never did anything out of his own plan. He waited for the Father. He waited to get a vision. He waited to get a dream. He waited to hear what the Holy Spirit had to say. John 5, verse 19 and 30. That is priority. If you don't have his will and his plan involved, don't start casting out demons. Got it? Okay. Because that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit tonight. In Mark chapter 16, he said, verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. 16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned, cut and dry. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will, or might, or not, get healed. Which is it? They will get healed. So it is the plan of the Father to use you to heal others. Yeah, fellowship. Yeah. Talking with your brothers, talking with the people that God gives you. Wherever you happen to be, could be on the job, could be at a celebration of some type. Don't underestimate God. He wants to use you. Now I want you to back up. Matthew chapter 18. Verse 18, Matthew 18, verse 18. Jesus is speaking again. Notice it's red letter. If you've got a red letter edition, you'll find that this is all in red. I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. So, is he with us? Yes, he is. Now, if you have two that are in agreement on a negative concept rather than a Holy Ghost concept, what's going to happen? Demons are going to have what? A party. When you're not around, there's not much light, is there? When you are around, you do light the way. Now, you say, what are you getting at? If the enemy is a stealer, a deceiver, and a killer, then you better be careful who you agree with and on what subject. And why? Because your words will either bind you or bind others, which means tie them up, or loose you or loose others. It depends on you. It is serious business what comes out of your mouth. And sometimes we don't always think before we speak. Amen? I could take you to James chapter 3. It says life and death are in the tongue. Okay, so if two of us are in agreement, praying for one another, praying that God will release healing, what happens? Healing happens, and it comes. Now, how about the person who says, well, God doesn't want to heal me? It can't come. They have just what? Bound those words, and your prayers have just been nullified because they refused to receive. So it's not always your fault that they didn't get healed. I might have agreed with somebody on a particular individual, and I can release that prayer, and they at the other side says, well, so-and-so said. And whoever so-and-so in their life is their authority, they accept what that authority has given, and therefore bind their own future to what that person or persons has given them. Whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you lose will be loosed. I remember, because when God gave me this message today, I had a vision. I had a vision of a middle-aged man. He was about your height, Bob, maybe a little heavier. He had had 5 back surgeries. He was crippled, could not work, totally devastated, and his girlfriend brought him to the healing service on a Friday night, and I was there. He was sitting where, like Judy is, and pastor says, the light of the Lord is over you, and I want you to come up here, and we are going to anoint you. I don't know what's wrong with you, but I sense back, or something to that effect. And the man, as he's walking, you could tell that it was a strain with every step, you know, that he was just in torment, just putting one leg in front of the other. When he got in front of the altar, Gino came over, put the oil on him, and as he put the oil on him, he says, and loose all of this deformity. And the man went under the power of God, and when he got up, he had no pain in his body. He was totally delivered. Later, he was asked to give testimony of his 5 surgeries and the hopelessness that had been placed in him by the physicians who had done the work. Because as each checkup came, it didn't get better, so they told him, you're going to live this way. And you can go for pain management, and you can get pills, and you can get that. And the man was totally free. He came back, and he became a friend of mine. What can I tell you? What am I saying? Be careful who you agree with. If it's a man or a woman of authority, be careful how you respond. Let them have their opinion, but you don't have to have it your opinion. Because God's opinion is greater. He wants to set you free from all the things that have bound you. That includes mental torment. That includes brokenheartedness. That includes broken circumstances in families. I can remember believing that I was going to become an alcoholic because my father had been an alcoholic. And it was so bad that I would definitely not have a drink. Of course, it didn't really work on me anyway, but that's beside the point. What am I saying? I believe. Believing you have received, it will be done unto you. Mark 11:24. Believing whatever you believe. If you believe on the negative, guess what you're going to get? The destruction, the garbage, and it will definitely have a fruit. Now, what kind of fruit do you want? Do you want healing? Do you want deliverance? Do you want freedom? It says you will cast out devils. Huh? I could take you to the scene where Jesus comes onto the demoniac that would today be in a psychiatric ward. And no pun intended, I'm not trying to say that, you know, psychiatric wards are bad. But they're not the best. And I've seen some of them, they don't want to wear clothes in there. I've been into those places just to visit my mom. It wasn't for a neighbor, it was for my own mother. And you say, well, you only went a couple times. I went for 17 years in and out of those places. So believe me, I've got a little bit of basic training. And my mother's been free since 1977. So I also know the power of deliverance. I also know the power of repentance. I know the power of the Holy Spirit. It is greater than a pill. And it's greater than a bottle of booze. And it's greater than depression. Now that's a good space for an amen. Thank you. You understand? You have authority in this earth. And the first part of the authority is over you. It's over your own body. The first person that you work on to deliver is you. Never mind delivering your neighbor. Deliver you. Get your own house cleaned up. And you know what? You're going to see everything wrong with all the Christians. But about everything that's wrong inside of this Christian. That's the house of prayer you need to clean up. Then when this house of prayer functions as a loving, compassionate house, full of mercy for you, full of love for... Yes. Do you understand how strange that sounds? See, we're taught, treat your neighbor, never mind you. You've got to start with you. Love your neighbor as? If you don't have any love for you, how are you going to love your neighbor? I've seen marriages fall apart because they can't stand each other. They can't stand themselves. What's wrong with the picture? Deliverance has not happened in their own hearts. And they're refusing to change it. Why? Because they're not thinking of the authority that they have with their own lips and those who they agree with. I can remember there was a division between my wife and I for a number of years. And the Holy Spirit shut me down. He shut me down so that I would not communicate. He told me, let her have her opinion. She's my daughter. Yes, Lord. So there were many communications between us as we started to try to work to get back together. And I can remember saying to her over and over, well, that's your opinion. And she got so sick of listening to that one verse, she finally gave it back to me out of anger. She says, I know I have an opinion. I says, yes, but I've not allowed mine. You have to have respect for my opinion too. Oh. And it wasn't out of anger. It was out of compassion that I was seeking to get her to understand that she needed to be respected with her opinion, but I also needed equal respect. And she could learn to respect my opinion. Many years later, she wrote a card for me. And on that card, it said, all those things that used to be so important to my future have now lost their importance. I love you. What does that say? She saw that my opinion was valuable and that I could walk my walk with Jesus the way that I saw fit, and she had the same privilege from me. Why can't they get along? Because you can't get along because the opinion of the other is unacceptable. That's not right. It's not right in the house of the prayer. It's not right in the family of God. It's not right in the house of the believer. It's not right in this house. Did you ever have an argument with somebody and you know that you got to shut up? Because if you don't, you're going to have world war. Yeah, and do you want it? No. Well, close it down. Agree with them that they have a right to what they believe. Give them that privilege. Yes, agree to disagree. It's okay. I don't have to be on the same page as you right now. It's okay. I can be in a different page, same book, different page. It's okay. Amen? Now, look at Jesus. He is working with 12 average fellas with zero education. Why? Why did he go to Galilee to pick out his guys? Why didn't he go downtown Jerusalem and pick out the high mucky mucks? They already thought they were great. Were they? They were great in their own eyes. Okay? They had power and they had degrees. And there's nothing wrong with power and degrees. As long as it's submitted to the Lord. Do you understand where I'm coming from tonight? I'm trying to give you understanding that you can get free from whatever it is that has bound you. You can get free from whatever it is that has held you, and you can walk in that freedom on a daily, daily basis. Will you be perfect? Will you not fail? Ah, I got news for you. You're going to be human. There's a season of learning. And there's a season of victories. Okay? And they don't all come at the same time. And sometimes you can struggle with something for a long time. Don't give up. Don't give up. Consider who you really are. I have given you all authority. Whoa. I have given you all authority. Can you use it? Can he trust you with it? I pray he can. Take your time before you respond to someone. Don't jump to conclusions. Come with me. John chapter 20, verse 23. John chapter 20, verse 23. Jesus is resurrected. Okay, I'd like to back it up a little bit to verse 19. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked, for they were human, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came, stood among them, and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands at his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Verse 23 is the one you need to look at. "If I forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If I do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Is that what it says? Huh? Right. How did they receive it? Not necessarily, but they needed to hear that they were just as powerful as his ambassadors as he is, even though he was going to the Father. Are you an ambassador? If the ambassador of the Americas goes over down to Japan, is he going to be speaking for our president? Yes. If I'm an ambassador to the Lord Jesus Christ and I say I choose to forgive you in Jesus' precious name, what happens? If you accept that forgiveness and you accept that you have been released, what happens? You are. Because two of you have agreed in the earth, Matthew 18, amen, and you are now loosed from your sin. Oh. I can remember saying to the Lord, "When does my communion become a spiritual encounter?" It's when you agree with Jesus that it is something spiritual, something beyond the natural, something awesome, something intense that will release me from whatever it is that hurts me. I can remember one night, totally unable to function because I woke up and I had a horrible, horrible flu. Everybody that came to church that night had told me how this one and that one had a flu, and guess what? I hung out with a bunch of flus, and guess what I got? The flu. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm wide awake. My head is pounding. My throat, I can't even swallow my own saliva. I am swollen everywhere. My chest feels like it's going to just burst. It's on fire. I've got probably 102, 103 temp. I didn't take the thermometer. I didn't need to. I didn't need to go and find out and look in the mirror to see if I was red. I knew what I was. I was sick. My mouth was... My teeth were chattering. And I heard the Lord say, now go and take communion. When does that agreement happen? It happened when I took the cup. And this is what I did. I poured about this much wine at the bottom of the cup. About an inch max. And I heard these words, your cheek. So I went to go in the other room to put some water in, and I heard, no, pour more. Now, my bottle wasn't large. It was a small little bottle I had in the fridge. So I poured another quarter of an inch or so, and I think I'm being generous, you know. And now I've got an inch and a half max in the bottom of the glass, and I heard, Kim, you're still cheap. Until I finally had enough courage to take a little more and put in about 2.5 inches. And I said, Lord, is that okay? And he said, yes. And then I took the bread and I prayed and asked the Lord. And I said, Lord, why so much of the wine? And he says, the power of the blood, okay? The life of the body is in the blood. The purification of my blood, which was now infected with some garbage that was going on wherever, lungs, throat, head, everywhere, it's all over the place. Anyway, he had me sip after I took the bread, chewed it. He had me sip on this and pray in the spirit in between. So I would take a little sip and I would rakiba hasada di shebro sandala lakaya, and then I would hear a word. And it went something like this. Infection. I stand against you. I renounce your works and fruits in Jesus' name. And took another sip. The next level. Fever. I renounce you. I renounce your works and your fruits. I command you to loosen your grip. This is the temple of the Most High God. You are not allowed in this house. I don't welcome you. I command you to come out in Jesus' name. And took another sip. And it continued. For about 45 minutes. Total time up out of my bed was about an hour. Released the word, and I said, God, I'm going to bed. Is it okay? And he said, yes. And at 7:15, I was wide awake, totally free. No symptoms, no sickness, no disease. Why? Because I had agreed with Jesus that his blood was the purifying factor in my body, canceling out what I'd already attempted to do a number, trying to destroy me. Why? Because you have authority over this temple that you live in. Psalms 139 says, I have created a temple for you to live in. In your mother's womb, I put you in there. For you to what? Submit to everybody in the earth, or to submit to the Most High God, who is your creator? It's up to you. It's really up to you. Symptoms. What do symptoms do? Rattle your cage. I like that. How many know what symptoms are? You got a problem with the body somewhere. You've got an achy foot. What do? You can agree with it or not. It's up to you. Whatever you agree with in the earth, you will reap the benefits thereof. Oh, I think I've got arthritis. Well, if you think you've got arthritis, you've just welcomed arthritis. Guess what it's going to do on you? Guess what it's going to complete? Its mission of destruction. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying to you that if you really are serious about who you are in Christ, you will begin to use his commission. Go out. Lay hands on the sick. Anoint them with oil, James chapter 5. And the Lord will set them free and heal them. When you come to that table and you agree with one another that the Lord has done a work, that table will set the captives free. It did it for me. Can I do it again? I did it just a couple days ago. There was some heaviness upon me, and I knew it. I got up, and I had to go to the restroom, which was a normal thing, but the way to the restroom was a long distance. Why? Because there was some oppression. There was some garbage, and I knew it, and I heard the word that I needed to hear. I went to the family room. I took out the bottle of wine. I put about an inch and a quarter in the glass. I put a little bit of bread, and I took, and I asked the Lord, what is the word that you want? What is the word that you want to give me tonight so that I can get this stuff out of the way? And he says, repent for them. They know not what they do. Repent for them. Whoever is praying against you, repent for them. Take on their sin. They have no clue what they're doing, and it's affecting you. Will the prayers of those that would like you dead have an effect on you? Whose responsibility is it to clean it up? And what are you supposed to do to your brother or your non-brother? Cast him to the foot of the cross? No. Pray for them that they may be healed. Amen? Overcome evil with good. Your priesthood is no different than Jesus. When you know that there's war going on against you, and there's jealousy, and there's backbiting, go. Take time with him. Whatever his instructions are to you, obey them. And as you obey, God will free you. That's his intent. That's what he wants. That's what I want. Any questions?
Why did he give them almost permission if they don't have to receive him? It's finished. If he retained the sins of anyone, they are retained. After he had given them the equivalent of a commandment.
Yeah. He was working with the first apostles. He was setting them as overseers. And they were to hold those accountable if they had not, you know, released forgiveness to themselves and been submissive. Remember, I believe it's in Titus, which I was reading, the book of Titus. It's only one page. You might check that. Warn a divisive person once. Warn him twice. Warn him even a third time. But if they don't, then walk away. And see, that's where that comes in. St. Paul says, I have judged the man who is sleeping with his stepmother, I believe it was, or mother-in-law, stepmother. Okay. And he says, I'm turning this man over to Satan. What was he doing? He was using this particular law here, where he says, I can't forgive this sin. This man is involved in the church relationship with his stepmother, and literally everybody's excited about it because they're sleeping together. Sorry. So St. Paul is now saying, I'm holding this man accountable for his sin because he's been warned, he refuses to change, and therefore he's going to reap the benefits. Now, they said, cast him out of the body. Why? 70 times 7 was already covered. He had gone beyond. And that law's the same. If you hold this man accountable for his sin, it is retained. It stays. Does that help? Does it bring clarity?
I think it
means okay. So he will manifest. I mean, I know how he works with me. When it comes to something of this nature and I've got a mindset Okay? The Lord will come by His Holy Ghost, and He'll begin to adjust, and He'll adjust, and He'll adjust. Amen? Okay. Anyone else? Would you bow your heads, please? Lord Jesus, I thank You that You have given them a word tonight that they can chew on for a little while. And Holy Spirit, I ask that You would confirm to them what it is that their role is in Jesus' name. Amen? Share some hugs.